Okay, today I had a good. Today we're up to. We're going to skip in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch the laws of Tznius, the laws of Nida, and there are laws of Yichud, which we're also going to skip. A lot of touchy subjects, so we're just going to go right ahead into Simen Kuf Samach Gimel. It's like we're skipping the first half of the last part of Chelek Dalet, and we're going to go to the next thing, is Hilchos Mila. Okay, Hashkacha Pratis, today I went to a Bris Mila. First I went to a Bris Mila in the Spanish-Portuguese synagogue, who is known for... They're known for their unique. My cousin, Rabbi Dr. Meir. No, Rabbi Angel was the previous rabbi. Rabbi Angel was the previous rabbi. His son is a rabbi there. Where? Okay, as far as I know, my
brother-in-law was
My cousin, my first cousin, Rabbi Dr. Meir Yaakov Soloveitchik, is the rabbi. He's been the rabbi there for about 2 years. About a little bit more than 2 years. So he had a boy, he made a bris, so I went to thank him. He was the assistant by Rabbi Lookstein, right? He was Lookstein's assistant, and now he became the full-time rabbi in the Spanish-Portuguese synagogue. So they're known, Rabbi Lookstein is the head of Ramas. Rabbi Lookstein runs Ramas. So they're known, no, there was no choir today. The only time I was there was for his installation. His installation, they wear robes. The rabbi, there's a rabbi, there's an assistant rabbi. And they wear these ancient robes from who knows when. This black robe with a bow tie. Well, he's Ashkenaz, but he really, it seems, especially from today, you can see that he really learned the malacha. He learned... No, I'm not related to Moshe. I'm related from his mother's side. I'm related from his mother's side, not from the Soloveitchik side. So they had a bris. So it was it's a magnificent shul, beautiful, gorgeous shul, and obviously the minhagim there are very different. The Baal Tzvila, the Shacharis is pretty quick. The Shacharis from the beginning of davening until through Shmon Esrei was very, very fast. The Baal Tzvila cannot says the entire davening about inside. Yeah, every word out loud. Every single word. They it does not appear. I couldn't really figure out what they were saying. I was a little distracted in the beginning of davening. And they have these interesting nigunim. It appears that they have an abridged version, if I'm not mistaken, of Pesukei Dezimra. That's what it appeared to me. And again, the Shliach Tzibur says every single word out loud, and the Tzibur just follows along with him, and they sing together Oz Yashir. Okay, Oz Yashir is
because of the
no, I don't. Oh, no, maybe, maybe you're right. I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe it could be.
I think it could be.
The Chorosi Mo Habriska. I wasn't paying attention, but they sang. They sang in a much more elaborate Oz Yashir. We learned that in the Zuchus of Mila the Yam split. It could very well be. And that would mean the davening is even shorter because davening was very, very fast. Okay, then after they finished Shmona Esrei, the Kriyas HaTorah was fascinating. First of all, the Kriyas HaTorah probably took longer than the whole davening. The Mishaberachs. And instead of my cousin, he was the Baal Kori. They have a cantor who does the davening, a beautiful voice because he has to read every single word out loud and he sings it with a nigun. And the Moel was someone else. I don't know who the Moel was. Someone, I think, I don't know. But they have a cantor who leads the davening. He wears a robe, long black robe with a bow tie and a special hat. Oh, when I came into shul right away, I would say there were about 150 people. So I don't wear a talis. I'm a bocher. A fellow comes over to me and says to me, "You need a talis." I said, "I don't wear a talis." So he says, "No, this is the tradition here." So I looked at him, I said, Come on. What do you want from me over here? I'm not wearing a talis. He goes, "No, you have to wear a talis." So I said, "All right, I'll sit in the back. Let me just sit in the back and leave me alone on a wall." He says, "No, if you're in the shul, you have to wear a talis." So he comes and he brings me... No objection. So he brings me a talis. What? Sure. So he brings Safan. He brought me a talis. So I put on the talis. Good, fine. Then it was interesting. I noticed, and then I was looking around. Am I really the only one here that they forced? They twisted their arm. So I look around and I see there's no one else. But then I I see coming into shul, someone I know, Rabbi Siegel, his from a cousin to the Soloveitchik, he learns in Yeshiva University, so he came. So also a bacher. So I saw he puts on his tefillin. I saw he's not wearing a talis. I know from my cousin that his children, he has children, the young children, they have to wear talis and talisos. They wear his children. They're like whatever, 7 years old, 8 years old. So they wear. He's a litvak. Yeah, they wear it there. But then I said, let's see what's going to happen with this fellow here who comes and he's also a bacher. So I see he's not wearing a talis. They just got me. Him, they don't bother him. I have a guilt complex. So me, they got. But sure enough, I looked at him 10 minutes later, and he was wearing a talis. So I wasn't the only one. And then another fellow I know who's not married was there, and sure enough, I saw he was wearing a talis. They have a so trademark talisim, the different types of. All right. The rabbi, my cousin, he leaned with a nigga and never knew how to do this. He's so melodious. This very interesting nigga, very talented. And he makes the Mishabech Yosef. He's the one who calls up. He calls up Yamod. Everyone there is called a Gevir. Yamod HaGevir. By us, if you call someone a Gevir, it's almost an insult. Rich. Or you're making fun. Oh, Gevir. Right? By us, it's almost a derogatory term. But Yamod HaGevir. Who is this? And then he makes a long Mishaberach. Mishaberach HaGevir. And I don't know, there's some very funny words, some very interesting words. It sounds like they're holding you. The impression I got was they're holding you up. Like if you're not going to give them a ton of base, like an SS, you think it's bad? You think it's bad in a shtimel? There's a lot of dignity in this Mishaberach.
Compete 101.
This is just on the Thursday.
What?
They get 101s.
What's 101s?
That's what they give. Shemalai.
I don't know. I couldn't follow everything that was going on. What was very interesting is they opened up the Aron Kodesh. I expected what kind of Sifrei Torah are they going to have. We know among the Ashkenazim we have our Sifrei Torah, and among the Sfardim, go to Eretz Yisrael, who doesn't see the Sfardim? No, their Sifrei Torah there in the Spanish Portuguese synagogue are just like our Sifrei Torah, just like they're all flat up, and they all interesting. They open up the Aron Kodesh. They must have in the Aron Kodesh must have, I would say, 30 Sifrei Torah on display. They all have the identical mantle, red, no words, no Mogen Davids, just a red mantle, all identical. A red mantle, and they all have, I'd say, all have a silver crest, two silver crowns. No, and they're all identical. Yes, they do have bun. So they take it. It's very interesting. They take it out. They take it out with a lot of dignity. They take it out backwards. The Baal Tefillah does not take the Sefer Torah. The Baal Tefillah comes forward and he says, "Yehallelu Hashem, Hashem ki niskav shmo." He never touches the Sefer Torah. The person who does psicha, he takes out the Sefer Torah. He takes it out with a lot of dignity, and then they walk in a line. They go out. They come in. Then they come to the. They come to the bima. This is very interesting. They come to the bima. So what do? We come. We take a center. We just throw on the bima, and a guy pulls off the mantle, opens up the gartel. No. The same way we do hagba. When we do hagba, you do hagba, and you sit down, and someone then comes and rolls it and puts on the gartel and puts on the mantle. They do that to open the Sefer Torah. It's beautiful. It's very dignified. It made an impression. The person brings the Sefer Torah to the bima, and he faces the oven. He walks backwards. He walks backwards and he sits down. And then two little boys come and they take off the crown. They take off the mantle. They take it off while he's holding it. The same way you hold it when you do hagba. They do the same thing. The other way around. Instead of just throwing it on the bima and ripping everything off. Then he takes it to the bima. Then he bends. Then also another interesting thing is that it's not bare. The cloth on the back of the Sefer Torah is draped in red velvet. They have a red velvet which goes around. The Sefer Torah is like our Sefer Torah. Now, Atzei Chaim, obviously they have the Ksav Velish, they don't have the Ksav Beis Yosef. But the back of it, when we do Hagba, so what do you see? You see the parchment. I know someone that donated Sefer Torah, he paid a few $1,000s extra to buy cloth that should be white on the back. He didn't want to have cloth where you can see the texture of the animal's hide. He wanted the cloth to be... So. This was our type of Sifrei Torah, but it was draped with a red velvet around the Atzei Chaim, so you don't see the back of the cloth. but it was a regular sefer Torah, which two Ashrei Chaim. After they took off the crowns and they opened it up, the person that was doing this, he bent the sefer Torah. He was holding it from the back because it was the hefsek of the velvet, and he got up and he walked forward and very delicately put it down on the bima. And then I think someone else came and did hagba just like we do hagba, but it's yidiv because you see this red velvet draped around the back of the sefer Torah. Okay, then they lay in, then do mikolim shaberachs, and they put.
How do they put it away?
They put it away the same way. They pick it up. They don't make a ceremony. They pick it up. And he goes and he sits down, and then the same two boys that opened it up, they close it. The same ceremony. It's like a hagba, but without picking it up and walking around. He just picks it up and he sits down, and they do. It's pretty much a hagba. It's a hagba without picking it up high up.
Yeah. Makes more sense that we're at the beginning when you're presenting the Torah.
The Zos HaTorah.
That should be the ceremony.
Yes. That's Svardim. The Svardim are known. Svardim are known. Okay, then they finished. Davening. I really know what was going on. There was
source for when.
It's discussed. It's discussed the different minhagim. I don't know more than that. Maybe go to Mishnah Berurah. Chelik based the Mishnah Berurah. So the after then they put away the Sefer Torah. Now of course they say Ashrei first, like the Sfaradim. They say Ashrei first while the Sefer Torah is on the bima, and they put it away. And then I don't know what they were saying. They were saying all of these things. I couldn't keep up what they were saying. They were singing things. Aleinu Shramalois Kaddish. One Kaddish. I don't know what's going on. They have a person in charge. It's very interesting. It's like a shamus. It's a very loud voice, and he really runs the davening. He's in control. He's telling everyone what to do. He sees there's a guest who has to say Kaddish. He's walking around telling everyone. He's very talented, this fellow. Very in control, telling the people exactly what to do, and he controls the davening. Yeah, this is one of the oldest shuls in New York. 150 years, this shul. This shul is more than 100
years.
More. 200 years. There's a lot of history. The shul has a lot of history. They're famous. They have tours. This shul is like a museum. Then, after davening was over, they make an announcement that all the women should come down into the main sanctuary. So the women are on the balcony. The women are all the way up on the balcony. The men are downstairs. You know, it's a type of shul where the men only sit on the sides. And the whole center is like in Kingsway Jewish Center. There are seats on the side bleachers, and then the center is then with a massive bima. They make an announcement, all the women should come downstairs. So all the women come down, mixed seating. You ever go to a bris, mixed seating. And then they tell you what page number they're up to, and they start singing from the siddur. They start singing, a lot of singing. All the different pizmonim. And then, this is very nice, then they sing Baruch Haba. And then, I never heard the moel say kvata. I never heard that word being ushered.
But
I know we do. Right.
Godfather.
But right. It was never, the word kvata, the moel never called out kvata. Then the two doors open. It's like trying to think. There are two massive doors. They open, and a couple walks in. Not a man, not a woman. A couple. It's like you're coming to the chuppah. A couple walks in. The wife is holding the baby, and the husband is standing on her side. And they walk in to about halfway into the Beis HaKnesses. Halfway, and at halfway point. No, when they walked in, the father was holding the baby. No, I'm sorry, the mother. The mother was holding the baby. They walked in, the mother was holding the baby until halfway into the baby, they walked in together as a couple. Then the mother gave the baby to her husband, and then the husband proceeded to the front of the Beis HaKnesses. They had prepared this massive chair, and they said, Zaki Seishel Eliyahu. And they started doing the whole. They put the baby on the chair. And I was wondering, where is the key chair for the Sandik? No, the chair for the Kisei Shilaliyo also is the chair for the Sandik. Some do this. It's not common among us, but the Sfardim, the same chair that's the Kisei Shilaliyo is the chair that the Sandik sits in. Well, Babish is like that? Okay, they did the bris. I wasn't paying attention. I didn't see exactly what was going on. I was looking around a lot. And then, just things I noticed, of course, they say a Shachianu. Okay, that we all know. The Sfardim say a Shachianu. And also, I noticed they said not Tzavei. But the nusach is tziva instead of the future tense. Tzavei es yididenu. I forgot the nusach. Instead of tzavei, he said tziva. The father of the child is the one who made the bar priyah gofen. They didn't give it to the person, the kriyas hashem. The avi haben made the kriyas, made the bar priyah gofen. Someone else was on with kriyas hashem. The nusach kishem shnichnas lebris, they said something different. Not what we say. They said something different. Also, when they end the bracha, all the brachas I noticed, the minig is the last few words of the bracha, the tzibur says. So when he made a shachin, berachat Hashem kirim elchem shachin v'kun v'giyanu, he stops at v'giyanu, and everyone in the tzibur says, lazman hazeh. And then he says, lazman hazeh, and then he answers, amen. I didn't pay attention to what they did. I did not pay attention. I did not pay attention. I was not that close. What?
They do it.
Not from the time.
I didn't. All right. I didn't. Yeah. Okay. We're not going there. Now another time. The Mitzitza. I don't know. I don't remember if they said Aleinu, not Aleinu. I wasn't. And then he spoke afterwards. It was very nice. Everyone sits down and he spoke. And that's when I left. What? I had to go. I had to be here. I couldn't. I had to leave. What? No, they did not. They did not say, as far as I know. No, they did not. They did not say Shema Yisrael. They did not say Mishkachech. No, they did not. No, they did not say any of those things. To the best of my knowledge, they did not say. It was very dignified. It was very different. It's an experience.
It's also like close to 200 years old.
They made a Bar Mitzvah.
No, they did not. They did not make a Bar Mitzvah. So the minhagim in this shul this are not your typical. You go a Sephardic minhagim. It's different. It's not a
Portuguese. It's not.
It's a mix. It's a mix. It's a very unique type of davening. It's an experience. Okay, so that was my experience. I thought
if I was in Italy in September, it's a great synagogue in Rome and in Florence. The same kind of Torah with the backing.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing with the color, they told us they had a room with drawers full of different Torah models. The president gets to pick the color.
Interesting.
They have hundreds of them, some of them hundreds of years old because they were ancient shuls. And
they alternate.
Every president, when they come in, get to pick their like whatever color they like.
And how long do they use that mantle for? For
well, the president gets kicked out.
Oh, really? Okay.
Obviously, the mantle gets kicked out. Another.
Aren't couples the same color? They buy. Comes from the Middle East. We're talking what's that? Portuguese Amsterdam, America.
There's no parochas. There's no parochas on the Aron.
Yeah.
The Aron is. There's no parochas. A massive, massive Aron without a parochas.
They lay straight up.
No. They lay like us. The Sefer Torah is identical, not the Ksav. The Ksav, I didn't see the Ksav, but cannot possibly be that the Ksav is like a Beis Yosef Ksav. The Ksav has to be a Ksav of Velish. But the Sefer Torah, the way it looks, is identical to what you have here. The regular Sefer Torah.
Right.
But here it's draped in velvet on the back.
Yeah, it protects you. When I was in down south this time last year, they have already, I don't remember, Charleston or
Savannah,
where they brought from Bevis Mark Synagogue in London, gave them when they came to America. They're not sure how old the Torah was, but it was from before 1492. Right. They took it with them from Spain to London, and then they gave it to them to take to America when they came here.
And it's still in use? It's still
in the museum.
Wow. Fantastic.
What does the script look like?
I can't. It looks very similar to a regular script.
You can still read it?
Yeah.
There's a machlokes apoiskim if an Ashkenazi is allowed to use it to be yotze.
Could we understand?
Of course.
Like the letters.
Of course.
Like in the.
No, it's not. This is not. No. That's Ksav Ivri. The Dead Sea Scrolls is Ksav Ivri.
Right.
That you can't understand. Ksav Ivri, there are 10 different versions of Ksav Ivri.
Right.
No. This is Ksav Ashuris. Ksav, you have no problem reading Ksav Vilish. It's probably easier, in fact. Ksav Vilish looks more like what you have in the Siddur. Ksav Ashuris, Ksav Beis Yosef, and Ari is probably a little bit more difficult. The Ksav Vilish looks almost like what you have in the Siddur. open up a regular siddur, that's what Ksav Yilish looks like. It's a very straightforward.
The old
that's based. That's
they
that.
Didn't have spaces even between the words.
No such thing. No. Okay, now let's begin Hilchos Mila. Just to let's see what we got over here. Halach Aleph Mitzvah Sei Alav Lamol Espino. It is a mitzvah say for a father. It is his mitzvah. It is his responsibility. It's his mitzvah. Lamul espino oy lchabet lasayis shaliach liyisrael acher sheyimol also, or to appoint an agent to do the bris milah. V'yesh alav losis sayelad al birkei hatzadik. So this is something which we don't always see being done. According to the kids, so we would spend some time on this last week on bris milah. It's proper for the father to be the one that puts the baby on the knees of the tzaddik. I don't always see that being done. It's his child. He's the one, not the moel. The moel you always see doing this, but that's what it's do. The yesh lav lo sasal delak al birchei tzaddik ulhoi shiras haizmo lidei ha-moel, and also to hand over the knife to the moel, and that way he's appointing you are my agent, and the tzaddik is also going to assist. V'lamud etzla b'shas ha-mila, and the father has to be present to stand right there at the moment of mila. V'l'harashu shlucho, and this, all this contributes to showing that you are appointing these people as your agents to do the bris mila. Period. Now, he's jumping ahead. The moel is going to make the bracha asher kiddushanu b'mitzvayis v'tzivanu al ha-mila, and immediately the moel removes the foreskin. It's not over yet. Now comes the priya. There is a very thin membrane underneath the outer foreskin, which also has to be removed, has to at least be separated. So that's called the mitzvah of Priya, when the father now will make the bracha of Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvayisa v'tzivanu lachnitsa b'vrisa shel Avraham Avinu. We want it to be oiver la'asiya, son, before the mitzvah is done, so it's done before the Priya is done. Now, being that these two things are done in rapid succession, the foreskin is removed and the thin membrane is removed in rapid succession, that's why the two people make the bracha one after the other. The mole makes the bracha and immediately does the mila, and while the mole is making the bracha and doing the mila, the father is making the bracha on Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvayis v'tzivanu lachnitsa b'vrisa shel Avraham Avinu, and then the priya will be immediately separated. Between the removal of the foreskin and the priya and the removal of the membrane, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvayis v'tzivanu lachnitsa b'vrisa shel Avraham Avinu. V'yesh la'odam lachzor lahader achar mole v'sandik hayoyser toiv v'tzad. Someone that is knows what they're doing, al pi halacha, and someone who is righteous. They say there's a tradition that the sandik has a influence. The mazel, the kedusha of a sandik has influence over the child his entire life. It's a very spooky thing. There are always spooky stories about that. The people, their children, large families, some of them. Some of them took one derech in life, others took another derech in life, and many times people, they look back at who was the tzaddik, and they see a connection that a certain type of tzaddik was a very holy person, has a very holy influence upon the child. Okay, what about the moel? Does the moel have to be a tzaddik? Ideally, yes, it's a holy thing, but all the pesukim say is that's not the ikar. The ikar is uminyat. It's a hinder to have a tzaddik who is a tzaddik. But if you don't have you have a moel who's known to be a tzaddik, but his handshake and he has a bad record, the children don't recover very quickly, okay, there are complications. So then all the poskim across the board say, don't go for the tzaddik, go for the doctor. You go for, not even, who's the doctor so good? Not every doctor has such steady, go for the surgeon. You go for the one that has the steady hands, the mumcha. That's the guy. I remember he was living in Texas years ago, and he had a choice of two moyalim. He was there, he was a rav, a young rav, and he had there a son who was a very big Talmud Chacham, but he was not impressed by his performance at previous workmanship, at a previous service. And then there was a conservative rabbi, a conservative guy who was good. He was good with his hands. I think he called Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky called the conservative rabbi. Shocking thing, right? Isn't that shocking thing? I said, I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure this is the story. Umniyad. Doesn't matter. You don't have to worry about it. Religious, he's Jewish. All right, doesn't make a difference what is Tinik Shemishpa. He's Jewish. get the job done. Umniyad is the ikar. Obviously, but it says over here is Hayoyser Toiv at Sarek, but it says over here the Lechatil, you can, of course, today, Baruch Hashem, locally, at least in the metropolitan area, there's no shortage of good Moyal.
Yeah, yeah. Just think of it.
Okay, now it says here, Lehagin.
Rabbi, so you just have a Jewish doctor?
Yes.
Which story did that? Let's hear it.
Was a surgeon.
Jewish. He has to be Jewish. If he's not Jewish, it's a good bris milah, but there's still an inyan to do hatofas dam bris. To extract a small amount of blood at a later point in time.
It's not the surgical procedure.
No, but
no.
You
can't use the third.
You can't use a non-Jew. Non-Jew is
a surgical procedure. What they do is
it's not even right. There's different techniques.
They put
clamp.
Threaded the circle on it, plastic, and then
there are different techniques. There are different techniques. Whatever it is. I'm not familiar, but all I know is every moyel has their unique technique. And okay, let's go further.
Chop a man.
Nehagim she'ei noistem sandekoitz le'ish asher. You wonder why I skipped. Now you understand why I skipped. Nehagim she'ei noistem sandekoitz le'ish asher kivar. Okay, this is the Tos Hadfos, right? All the bases are chavs and chavs are bases. Asher kivar hoi etz le'sandek b'ben acher. You don't give a person who already was a sandek for you in the past. Only one chance. In kibin lemoil ech. Now, here is something that is fascinating. Not everyone is knowing this. In kibin lemoil echad, if you have 10 children, and we did already your first child, you got to give them the rest of the other 9. All the other ones coming up down the line, down the pipeline. You give one moil, that's it. You start with moil, kibin lemoil echad, also lach zarl bo, v'lachabit lachay. You're not allowed to take it away from him. Shenemar, She'eris Yisrael lo yasu avla. The remnant of Klal Yisrael, that we, Klal Yisrael, who are the remnant of the past, they don't do wrongdoing. It's an insult. When that Moel is going to find out that you didn't take him a second time, he's insulted. That means you're not happy with my service. So that's not a good mass. You don't want to start off a child's life that the bris milah was done to a child. There was already a taina, there was already an insult, there was already bad feeling. This child was the product of bad feeling. It's a very powerful idea. Not everyone knows. Some people, I don't think.
The Moel.
No, the Sunday you're not allowed to. The Sunday gets one shot. The Moel you do not change.
Right.
If you give, unless of course, what?
You can't meet Sunday.
Right, of course. That's a dog that goes without saying. If the Moel is not alive anymore, what are you going to do? He's not available. He says, I'm sorry, I'm booked for that day, or you can't get, or it's another country. That's a Dover Poshad Adma. We're talking about when the mole is available, he's a member of your family, he davens in the shul, he's going to be invited to the bris. How come you're not asking me, I did your other son? And he's there. We're talking about a situation where you're running into problems. Exactly. Even if he's not there. If he's not there, he'll be insulted. He'll find out about it. These things get around. Lo yasa. I don't think many people do not know this halach. People not. They say, oh, I gave him. I know I have a couple of moyalim. So I gave him one. So listen, so let me share the wealth. I don't want to insult the other moyal. Right? I know that. Like, I know, I daven. So there used to be years ago. I daven in Chaim Berlin. So there used to be two moyalim that all the bris milas. Rav Yechiel Michel. Rav Simcha Bunim. Pertinsky, and who is the other one?
Zimmerman.
No, Edelman is new. Edelman is a new generation. Zimmerman.
Zimmerman.
No, Zimmerman.
Zimmerman.
Did he do in Chaim? There was someone else in Chaim Berlin who did a lot of Moel. Could be. No, not Zimmerman. Zimmerman didn't do too many in Chaim. There was Pertinsky. He did a lot. Pertinsky. I don't remember already. It was either one or the other. So you think, listen, okay, now you're right, who are the two new ones now are Rabbi Edelman does? And Rav Schechter, the Rav Shiva's son, he does. I would say it's 50-50. 50% are done by Schechter, and 50 are done by. So you would think someone there who's a Talmud in the yeshiva, you don't want to insult one of them, right? So I'll give you one, and I'll give the next one then to the next one. No, it says you're not supposed to do that. It's supposed to be consistent. Let's go forward. The imkive liach lechad.
why is it, he says it brought down to your day, but why is it that you don't give, let's say,
Sandikos?
Yeah.
Because Sandikos comes from the Ketores. He's asking an important question. Why don't you give Sandikos to a person more than once? Because Bris Mila is Kineged the Ketores. The Chazal say when you bring a bris, to do a bris milah, it's as if you're offering the Ketores. And in the Beis Hamikdash, when they offered the Ketores, they took a pious. They took a lottery. Which Kohen is Zochet to do the, bring the Ketores? And the first rule was, anyone who already did the Ketores once in his lifetime is out. You may not participate in the pious. You have to give other Kohanim a chance to do a chance.
Especially about Hasidim.
Okay, Hasidim don't hold from this. Hasidim, they give the Rebbe all the time.
No, it doesn't, even the logic, because if you had this child, you're not a sandik for another brother for this child, but you can be a sandik for someone else.
Someone else, of course.
But if it's Ketores, you shouldn't be a, once you're a sandik, period, you shouldn't be a sandik forever again.
It doesn't say that.
That's the svar you said.
Asher kvar etzle sandik bebenecho acher.
This baby or different?
All right, I hear what you're saying. I don't know the answer. I hear it. He's saying over here, there's only the akpada only goes as far as one family. That's all it says.
So if you have, let's say, a grandfather.
Yes. For one child. For one. The ben acher. The ikar hadin.
Same.
It's a minog. It's not always done like that. Sometimes you can be a machloikis. To be machloikis, so I'm not going to give the grandfathers. So who am I going to give? So the choices are A and B. And these two people do not get along. It'll be a machlekes. So what do you need a headache for? So give it to the grandfather. He already got it. Make an exception. Yeah. By Hasidim, they don't hold from this. They give the Rebbe all the time. They have 20 children. You'll give the Rebbe all 20. To give it tzaddik. The reason why they don't hold, the reason why Hasidim don't is because they take very, very seriously this concept is that the tzaddik has a hashpah on the neshama of the child. And you don't want to play games. The person is accepted to be a tzaddik. You don't want that, and he has a reputation, so I'm going to go give this person. I don't really know this person. I don't want to play games. This is the derech of Hasidim. That's their derech.
So this is brought down here.
This halacha number six. Yeah, you only give a sandig once. Okay, but not everything it's brought down in Mechaber and Ramah is accepted. Okay, so this is totally me. By the Litvish Olam, they also there are different customs. There are some people that will give their Rosh Shiva. They have a very big time chacham. They'll give every single time. It depends where. It's not set rule, and it depends on the person, on the family. There are many considerations when it comes to kavod. Can you imagine what it can do to you here at home? Okay, let's go further. Let's say you give one more. The more goes to another city. Ad kedei kach, you can take it away from the person that you have the other son. I thought the mole is not here. He went away. So I asked so and so the backup to do the bris milah. So now the mole number one returns. So am I allowed to cancel? Is it derech eretz me to say to mole number two, I'm sorry, mole number one has returned? It's not a problem. You can cancel. You're allowed to cancel because that's halacha. Halacha is once you give to mole number one has the right all the way through. Okay, let's just do a little, bit. Okay, we're not going to have much time. Let's start over here. Ois aleph. Al ha'av lo moles no ois aleph. Ayin b'yardeya. De'im loy mol ha'av chayavim bezdin lo mol lo. This is a gemara. Mesech the kedushin. If the father does not do the bris milah, there's no such thing as, okay, he didn't have a bris milah. Say, Rachman, son of the kid, let's go to yeshiva, he's in public school, alright, so it's a public school. No, people are not going to, mind your own business. That's the attitude today with a lot of things in life. It's not my problem. There's a kid that should be getting what everyone else gets. He's not getting. Oh, the organizations, yeah. But it's none of my business. Mind your own business. Let the family do whatever they want. That may be true when it comes to education, when it comes to who knows what, but not when it comes to bris milah. If a child is a Jewish child, and the parents are just not with the program, and they did not bring him for a bris milah, you have a big, every single person has to mind someone else's business and make sure that child gets a bris milah. It's a very sensitive thing because today you live in a country where you mind your own business, otherwise you're in a lot of trouble. Now he's writing in his own name, the Sefer Pikudecha. I'm not sure who this is. They call Ishvish. Forget about the Bezdin. They call Ishvish Miyishol Nikwe Bezdin. In this matter, every individual is called a Bezdin. Mind your neighbor's business. Know what's going on. Le'inyan Zed, the Im Roya Katan Yisraeli, Shein Mol, Vyachol Molo, Chayiv to get involved. V'chein Haminuk, Ad Kal Lashonai. So Brown writes, Vayapelli, Alosh V'nirali. What is this safer Sedeg Pikudech saying in Nirali? It's not his Chesh. The Rambam says this. The Chod Dover Zekos of Kaharambam. The Perish HaMishnayis Mishnech HaShabbos that Perik Yutes. The Kol Mish Sheyira Es HaYelid HaOrel HaZeh V'lo Yomel So Over Al Mitzvah HaSeh Ayin Shem. If you see, if you are over in a Mitzvah HaSeh yourself, you see someone else in the Bris Milah. V'yatar Isi Shekvar Nispale Al Zeh Nechtoi Bal Minchas Elazar B'Sifr Ois Shalem. He already has the same kasha. Why is Derek Pekutecha, that is the grandfather or the father, whatever it is, an ancestor of the Minchas Elazar Munkach V'ayin, but he has the same kasha. It's the Rambam's words. What about a woman? The father is not Jewish. It's a mixed marriage. So the mother is Jewish, the father is not Jewish. Obviously the child is Jewish. So obviously the father is not going to get involved. The father couldn't kill us. The father is a guy. The father is not going to do the bris milah. So in this situation where the mother is Jewish and the father is not Jewish, immediately the bezdin's responsibility is triggered. Bezdin lamolo v'ayin kamon sifkon yud gimel v'ayin merach hashulchan. Then stopik mikoydem im habezdin v'shar yisraelim sham einim yichom lamol bi'atzmam l'tzichim loitzas l'shloch. They need this money. The people there do not have the money for this. L'shloch achamol im mechuyavim gam lohitzi loitzas kamo ha'av bi'atzmam mas l'din d'mechuyavim gam zeh. Even if it costs money, if you live in a remote village, or you're living in a place where even forget about it, you have to give them all the money. You got to pay them all. Derech Chayitz. You got to pay them all the money. So if the parents don't want to pay, so people in the community have an obligation to pay the mol on their behalf. It's all part of your obligation. Halacha based. The lamoid etzla b'shas. How much they got? For, how much the bris milah go for today?
800.
That's the giving going rates.
I think that's too much.
I remember a year ago someone asked me, someone I know had a baby, he asked me to find out. So I remember I asked and they told me, if I'm not mistaken, between $500 and $1,000.
Yeah,
that's what.
Lakewood is less.
A lot of Moyalim will not ask you for money. A lot of Moyalim will say, you give what you can give. And it's your duty, understanding, yes, what's the going rate? And the going rate, like you said, is $600, $800. Someone told me that between $500 and $1,000. I don't know what this person gave, but that's what.
What? One of my grandchildren paid $800.
$800.
A lot of money.
That could be. Did you get the
Santa
Claus?
Oh, yes.
It was worth it.
That's so you got already four times.
They don't give you Santa Claus.
Okay, let's go to Ois Beis. The Lamoid Etzloi B'Shas Hamila. It's called for the father to stand in the house of unless the father is not home, he's on business, he's out of town, he's somewhere else. It's not ma'akev. The father's not ma'akev. His present not ma'akev. I'm not sure who this is. Whatever it is. If the father gave a command, the father says, I want to be there, therefore don't be malhim bizman until I come. Let's say it's late. So it goes without saying, I'm coming back next week. So the bris won't be on the 8th day. So we'll be on the 18th day. We'll make it on the Sunday, a Sunday bris. That's nonsense. So you don't listen to the father. But let's say the father says, I have a flight, I'm coming in tomorrow. at 8 o'clock until I get back from the airport. No, it's not going to be delayed. Until I get from the airport, it'll be 12 o'clock. Just chatzos. So you can wait for the father until chatzos. V'lo yoyser. L'chatchila zrizim akdimim l'mitzos to early as possible. We learned this last week that you should not do later than 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. Zman tfila. The zman that you should not delay a bris meal is not later than zman tfila. A third of the day. A third of the day is zrizim akdimim l'mitzos. It's 10, 11 o'clock. No, that's a pidyon haben. A bris? In the afternoon? Maybe in the bit. No, no, on a fast day, maybe. No, no, no. I don't know. There's no. Zuizim, no. Not enough. Zuizim, magdinim, lemitzos. The bris is supposed to be made early as possible. And if you can't make it early as possible, you can make it, kamal lechaz until zman tzfila, which is about 11 o'clock. 10, 11 o'clock, depending on the time of the year. Later than that, you're violating zuizim, magdinim, lemitzos. And of course, you wait later in the day, you're playing with fire, you can lose out the whole day. Okay. But if you see the father says, wait, I'm coming back at 1 o'clock, and they have plenty of time, and so then it's okay. You can make exceptions. You can make exceptions as long as you're absolutely certain the baby is going to have the bris on the 8th day. And okay, a healthy child that has, there's no delay. Okay, well, let's see one more halacha and we'll stop. You know, it's very, very late. So, you know, we'll stop over here and we'll take a short break and then we'll talk about Pesach Sheni.